You know, when Jesus wanted to teach a lesson on the subject of marriage in Matthew chapter 19, he went all the way back to the first marriage in the book of Genesis, and he based his lesson on that. In studying any Bible subject, there is a great deal that can be said for going back to the very first mention of a thing in the Bible and learning all we can about it in its original form, in its first reference. For example, if we wanted to study the grace of God, a good place to start would be in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where the word grace appears for the first time in the Bible in saying that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see how grace or favor is used there in that verse, and then we can move forward to apply what we learn even as we study the New Testament, which declares that by grace you've been saved through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. The first occurrence of the word worship is in the Bible at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. Incidentally, that's the only time the word worship is used in the book of Genesis. However, as we get into Exodus and Deuteronomy, it's a word that occurs again and again and again. But back there in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, we find it used in the matter of Abraham's offering of Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice to God. Our subject this morning, as you can see on the screen, is the worship of Abraham. I'm sure that maybe someone might have the question, well, what does the worship of Abraham have to do with us today? This is the New Testament that we're serving under. This is not the patriarchal age that Abraham lived in. Why would we study the worship of Abraham if we're serving God under the New Testament? That would be a good question. We're going to read portions of the text from Genesis chapter 22. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, we'll begin reading at verse 1. You can follow along on the screen if you'd rather. But Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place that God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so the two of them walked on together." Now, no doubt you recall the rest of that story, how that as they were on the way after that, Isaac asked the question of his father, where is the lamb? Why do we not have a lamb to use as the offering? And Abraham's answer was, God will provide a lamb. And they came to the place where God had instructed, and there it says they built the altar, and Abraham arranged the wood on the altar, and then the Bible says Abraham tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the wood of the altar. And you'll remember that Abraham took the knife and was about to kill his son Isaac, and God stopped him. The Bible says that Abraham looked behind him and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham offered that lamb in the place of his son. Hopefully you spotted the word worship there in verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. From that very first use of the term worship in the Bible, I want to suggest to you that we can learn a lot of things and gain a much better understanding of what's involved in the matter of worship even today, because there are certain principles of worship that were true for Abraham and are certainly true for us today. Notice some of those things. Number one, I want to call your attention to the fact that worship must be based on instruction from God. The text that we read opens up by saying that this whole matter came about and began with God calling to Abraham. Abraham answered in acknowledgement, and God said essentially, this is what I want you to do. Now, the only reason that the very idea of offering Isaac as an offering would be acceptable to God for worship was based on the fact that God said to do it. Because we understand that human sacrifice was certainly not an approved matter or manner of worship. Throughout the Old Testament, there are several references made to the practices of the heathen nations that surrounded God's people, and particularly on the occasion or in the occasion of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 31, we find God forbidding the very notion of offering a human being as a sacrifice. Later in 2 Kings chapter 16, under the rule of wicked King Ahaz of Israel, the Bible says Ahaz himself caused his son to pass through the fire. In other words, he offered his son as a sacrifice. That was totally and absolutely against God's will. But when Abraham laid Isaac on the wood of the altar, he was acting on faith. Romans 10 verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the very same thing that made Abel's offering acceptable. Back in the early days of the book of Genesis and referred to again in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead speaketh. The receiving of the instruction and the following of that instruction was what made this matter acceptable to God, because worship even today must be based on instruction from God. Now, let me ask you something. What if Abraham had offered Isaac without God telling him to? Rest assured, it would have been murder. Well, suppose Abraham, after being told by God to offer Isaac, had decided it would be better to take a lamb, as Isaac asked about. And going to that place, building the altar and laying the wood out there just like God wanted done, but then taking a lamb and putting it on the wood and killing it and offering it as an offering to God. Oh, no, you say. That would have been wrong, because that's not what God told Abraham to do. And even though that would become a very accepted practice of worship, offering a lamb to God, that wasn't what God said do on this occasion. And if Abraham had done that instead of obeying God, it would still have been disobedience and not true worship. If it's going to be acceptable worship, it has to be what God said. We're not free to worship God in just any old way that we might choose. In 2 John verse 9, John says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God." In Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus condemned both the actions and the attitude of the Jews of his day when he said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the precepts or the commandments of men." The fact that Abraham might not have been able to explain just exactly why things were as they were did not keep him from doing what God told him to do. Remember when Isaac asked, "Father, where is the lamb?" The best Abraham could come up with was, "God will provide." Number two, worship involves the carrying out of an action. The performing of a deed, an action. Not performing in the sense of doing something before the eyes of an audience. God is our audience. But performing, carrying out an action. Genesis 22 verse 5 that we've read already a couple of times, Abraham said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." We're going over there to do something. We're going over there to do something specific. And then we'll be back. And Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son." Do you suppose Abraham could have stayed home and just drawn closer to God in his mind, and everything would have been the same? No, I don't either. But a lot of folks give that alternative as a viable excuse. for not following through with the assembling to worship as God commanded. You know, I can get closer to God in my spirit out on the lake. Or I can get closer to God in the woods, in my cabin. Worship involves the carrying out of a prescribed action. That's the way it was for Abraham. That's the way it is for us. Worship is more than just an attitude. Attitude is very important in worship. But worship consists of much more than just an attitude. Number three, consider how that in the case of Abraham and in the case for us today, worship involves a costly presentation. A costly presentation. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we find David, king of Israel, preparing to offer a sacrifice to God. And an individual offers to give David the place in which to perform the offering and the animal to use as a sacrifice and the wood to use to facilitate this offering. You remember what David said in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24? David said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing." And I think we can infer from what David says there that his offering, if it didn't cost him anything, wouldn't be acceptable to God. And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen that Araunah had offered to give him for 50 shekels of silver. I'm afraid even today that a lot of folks are content to try to worship God without it costing them anything. This is the day of convenience. This is the age where we spend untold amounts of money and expend untold hours in research and development just to make everything we do as easy as possible. And I suppose you might get a little carried away in that thought process and even start questioning things like air conditioning and padded pews. Now don't go out and tell somebody your preacher's against air conditioning or padded pews. But the fact is, we're big on convenience and we want everything that we do to be as easy as possible. And somehow we need to get control of that concept and understand that when it comes to worshiping God, it's not a matter of convenience. It's something that ought to cost us some time and some effort and some preparation. The offering that Abraham was prepared to give to God was the most costly thing that he had. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Not merely the gift of money, but the offering up of our minds and our lips and our bodies, our very hearts. Abraham could not do what he did on this occasion with the same degree of casualness that a lot of folks come to the meeting house with on Sunday. Sometimes I hear folks say, "Well, you know, I didn't really get much out of that worship service." What do you suppose Abraham would have said if you asked him on the way back down from that mountain, what'd you get out of that worship? Number four, worship involves a separation from the world and its surroundings. When Abraham said back there in verse 5 that we keep on reading, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, he was leaving some things and even some people behind that might have been a hindrance to what he was going to accomplish. The affairs of life need to be left behind in order to acceptably worship God. Problems on the job need to be left behind when we come to worship. Saturday's ball game needs to be left behind when we come together to worship God. Do you imagine that while Abraham was tying up his son Isaac, putting him on the altar and then reaching for the knife, maybe in the back of his mind he was thinking, you know, I wonder if that spotted calf has had her cow has had her calf yet back home. I kind of doubt he was thinking about things back home that were going on while he was going through the act of worshiping God. I don't think he gave a thought for what maybe Sarah was going to have for supper when he got back home. After this, there were other things on his mind that were far more important. He was here to worship God. Self-interest has no place here. It's not a question of whether or not Abraham is going to be comfortable or happy with what goes on, but it's a matter of whether or not God is going to be pleased. This mountaintop where Abraham came to worship was God's designated place, giving honor and adoration to Him in the way that He prescribed is the only thing that mattered to Abraham. Everything else would have been excluded from his mind. Worship involves a separation from the world and its surroundings. Then our final point, number 5. Worship results in blessings to the worshiper. Beginning at verse 15, after the angel of the Lord has stopped him from killing his son. The Bible says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. There is no doubt in my mind that Abraham went up that mountain with a very heavy heart. But as he comes back down the mountain, there has to be a spring in his step and a song in his heart. Here's another blessing. Abraham comes away from this experience with an even greater appreciation for the son that God has blessed him with. Here's another blessing. Abraham now knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that his faith and devotion to God is strong enough to help him do whatever it is that God wants him to do. still another. Think about the example that this situation furnished for Isaac. And suppose someone had said to Isaac years later, after Abraham was dead and gone, suppose somebody said, "You know, I've always heard that your daddy had a lot of faith. Is that really true?" And think about what Isaac could have said. The fact is, nobody can worship God acceptably and come away poorer as a result. But why did God want Isaac as a burnt offering? He didn't. He wanted Abraham. And if Abraham was willing to offer Isaac, then God knew he had Abraham. Here is worship. Here is the soul in tune with God, offering up his most precious possession. But not only did he offer up his son, he offered the soul and the heart and the mind of a daddy. How far would you go in obeying God? How does your worship stack up with these principles of that first reference we find to worship? If you're not a child of God this morning, why not obey the gospel? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confess your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not be restored? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.